Scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 5, and verses 9 through 11. And we didn't include the verse starting in verse 6 through 8 that we had been reading the last couple of weeks. But that is a part of all of this. We don't want to forget that. It's not that this we start a new section here or anything. But for time's sake and everything, we just want to look at verses 9 through 11 in this passage. Notice he says, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if we were enemies, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." This passage is a very significant passage. It's very important to us because do you ever live with doubts? Sure we do. We have doubts. Do you have doubts about your relationship with God? Now, when you were growing up, let's see, you did all grow up, right? Well, some I wondered about. But anyway, you did all grow up. And as you grew up, did you always do everything that made your parents happy? How many liars we got out there? No, you didn't, right? You didn't always do what made your parents happy. I love Bill Cosby and his, you know, "I brought you into this world, I can take you out," you know. Well, hopefully our parents were never that abusive or that sharp with us. But our relationship with our parents never changed. They were still always our parents. And so it is with the children that we've raised, those of us that are older. We've raised children. They didn't always do what we wanted. Sometimes we were very disappointed. Sometimes they asked for forgiveness and we gave it to them. And we were willing to move on. But none of that changed their relationship with us. They were still always our children. And Paul wants to help us to make sure that we understand that our relationship with God is secure. It is secure because of the fact that, as he tells us here, that Christ died for us. His blood was shed for us. And if God has done all of that, then won't He do the little things? Huh? Won't He do the little things? That's what he's saying. Now, it's kind of interesting that this much more, you see it there underlined, much more, and then he says, and not only that, but we look at a couple of verses further down in verses 15. He says, "But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Christ Jesus, abounded to many." And then we're going to skip verse 16 for time's sake. And in verse 17 he says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Now, Paul uses that phrase, "much more," the exact same Greek word, two words actually, "much" and "more." He uses that phrase four times here. Now, he uses it other places, but no place else does he use it like he uses it here in this chapter. Four times in four different verses, he uses it, "much more, much more, much more." Do you get the idea he's trying to tell you that we've got much more? You can't miss that, right? We've got much more in Jesus. And so the first thing he wants us to see is that we've been justified by the blood of Jesus. Now, I thought I remember here just a few Sundays ago, actually it's been much more than a few Sundays ago, but I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day that doesn't attend here, but they were wanting to know where I was preaching, and I said, in Romans, and they said, are you still in Romans? But you remember back when we were studying in Romans 3:28, he says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. But now Paul says in verse 9 of chapter 5, much more than being justified by His blood. Well, which is it? Are we justified by faith? Are we justified by blood? I mean, we don't have to go back only to verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then again in Galatians chapter 2, and verse 16, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And then finally, in Titus 3:7, having been justified by His grace. Now, remember, if you remember, the word justified means that we've been brought into alignment. We stand before God as though we'd never done anything wrong. All of you have watched that great classic movie, Men in Black. And they got this little thing, you know, and they push it and it flashes the button and it erases your memory. Right? Couldn't you have used that a few times with your parents when you were young? Huh? You did something wrong and you set that back 10 minutes and you put on your sunglasses and you hit the button and they don't remember it anymore. Boy, that wouldn't have been that great. Well, you know what Paul is telling us here is that we've been justified. As far as God is concerned, that's all done away. Everything that we ever did wrong, we've been brought into alignment. We stand in a right relationship with God. Now, it's by faith. That's true. That's how we become a part of it, is through our faith. Our faith isn't simply just faith. You know, people say sometimes, I hear people say, well, just as long as you believe, that's the only thing that's important. No, that's not us all that's important. Because here we find in these verses it says faith what? Faith in Jesus Christ. And we notice that the real thing that justified us in God's sight was not our faith. Because sometimes we get the idea that, well, you know, I've got faith. They don't. As if faith is something to be proud of. That's not the way it works. The way it works is that the blood of Jesus Christ is what made us right in God's sight. And that's what He's telling us in this verse, that we've been justified by His blood. Now, one fellow wrote this. He said, the expression justified by His blood gives the most awful view of the infinite evil of sin, of the strict justice of God, and His faithfulness in carrying its execution, the first sentence. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, God said to Adam and Eve. Without the shedding of blood and entering in with it into the holy place, Christ could not have obtained eternal salvation for those who had sinned. On the other hand, what an astonishing view is thus presented of the love of God, who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for His people, who were with Him, who with Him will freely give them all things. What He's telling us here is He's saying, don't you realize that if it took the blood of Christ to make us right with God, we were in a lot of trouble. Right? Now, you can get in trouble, and there's all different degrees of trouble, right? You can pull out here this afternoon as we get ready to leave and bump somebody's car and you're in trouble, right? Now you got to get a hold of your insurance agent, and you got to have the police come over. You got to file a report. All of this stuff, you're in trouble. But you can get in a lot more trouble than that, can't you? You see, the degree of what it took you to get out of trouble tells you how much trouble you were in. And what Paul is telling us here is that we were in so much trouble that only the blood of Christ could get us out. That's how much trouble we were in. That's how what a dangerous position we were in. And because of that, we ought to see what God was willing to do in order to bring us to Himself. Another man by the name of Matthew Henry, he wrote this, "Justification and reconciliation are the first and primary fruit of the death of Christ. For we are justified by His blood, Romans 5:9, reconciled by His death, Romans 5:10, the verses that we read today. He says, sin is pardoned, the sinner accepted as righteous, the quarrel taken up, and the enmity slain, an end made of iniquity, and an everlasting righteousness brought in." So justification and righteousness are the very first things that come from the death of Christ. Because of the death of Christ, you and I are justified. We stand before God as though we'd never sinned, and we are reconciled. We see that in verse 10. Since we've been reconciled, what does that mean? Is it easy to reconcile people? Is it easy to reconcile nations? You know, a lot of people think, well, if you just talk it out. Well, a lot of times that works. You know, I've had people that were upset with me wrongly. You know, they thought I said something I didn't say, or they thought I did something I didn't do, or maybe vice versa, they thought I should have done something I didn't do, whatever. And you know, sometimes you can talk that out. But you know, there's some times where talking isn't going to help. But the problem that we have in our relationship with God is that before God saved us, we weren't willing to talk. And talking was never going to do it. Something needed to take place that would reconcile us to God. We've been reconciled by His death. You see, if someone does something, well, it's like I said a few Sundays ago. If I came to you and I never did do this because I didn't know if anybody would have a $100 bill, I'd just, you know, take $100 from you and then I would give you $95 back and see if you'd be satisfied with that. Well, some of you might say, well, you know, the pastor, you know, he's good for $5, I'll let him go. But the idea of being satisfied has the idea of getting everything that's deserved. And God's justice, His wrath was satisfied with the death of Christ. Christ suffered in our place. He suffered for us. And so, as Matthew Henry says here, the primary fruit of the death of Christ was that we were justified in God's sight, declared righteous, and reconciled to Him, so that now there's nothing between us. It's hard to pretend there's nothing between you when there is, isn't there? You get mad at somebody. They come along, they say, "What's wrong?" You say, "Nothing." And they know that that's not true. Right? But you see, God has taken that all away. He has reconciled us to Himself. No change in God occurred in all of that. It was us that was changed because of the death of Jesus Christ. Another fellow says, "At the same time, the necessity of the shedding of the blood, infinitely precious in order to the justification of believers, is the strongest proof of the infinite evil of sin and the infinite holiness and awful justice of God. It shows the extreme difficulty there was in reconciling God to man And it could only be done by the satisfaction of His justice, which could not be accomplished but by the death of His only begotten Son. Let's say that tomorrow you're going to go to the dealership and buy yourself a new car. And I don't know, you've got your eyes set on one of these SUVs since, you know, gas prices went back down. And besides, farmers are going to be buying nothing but SUVs because, you know, the gas a haul and everything else, the price of corn is going to go up. So you go out and buy this SUV and you go in there and the guy says, well, it's $52,500. And you say, yeah, but I want to give you $70,000 for it. And he's going to go back in his office and he's going to call the guys in the white coats to come get you, right? Because he figures you're nuts. No, you wouldn't go to the dealership. You don't. I mean, he says, I want $52,500. You don't say, well, all right. You say, well, I'll give you $49,500. Right? That's the way it works. Don't you understand that the price that God had to pay to reconcile us tells us how much trouble we were in, and it tells us that there was no payment that was of a less value that would accomplish it. I don't buy many vehicles. Do they really mean it when they said, you know, the actual price is on the vehicle, you know, we're not negotiating? I bet if you walked in there And they told you that the Barack Biden price for that was $48,000, and you walked in there with $45,000 in cash and laid it down there, I have an idea they might think real hard about taking that. But you see, we have an idea in our minds. Christianity has kind of had the idea in our mind, and we've been taught this, that we somehow contribute to this purchase price that God has Himself supplied in order for us to get to heaven. You remember the illustration that I gave you some years ago about this fellow. He'd kind of gotten in a jam and he'd committed a crime, and so he went to the judge and he had a real sad sob story. And the judge says, well, I'm sorry, the fine is $100. And unless you have $100, you're going to have to go to jail. And of course, he had children at home and he had a job and he was going to lose that on everything. And so the people in the courtroom got feeling sorry for him, so they took up a collection. And even the judge kicked in. And so they went around and they collected up the money. He owed $100 and they collected $99.50. And they laid it up there, and the judge said, well, unless somebody comes up with another 50 cents, you're going to jail. Because you have to pay the whole fine. So the fellow starts off being ushered out of the courtroom, and all of a sudden he remembers the two quarters he has in his pocket. And he takes them out, and he puts them on the judge's stand, and then he says, I'm free. Is he going to remember the $99.50 that everybody gave to set him free, or is he going to remember the 50 cents that he had himself? That's what he's going to remember. Don't you see that the price for our redemption was so high that there was nothing that we could contribute? There was nothing that we could pay. There was nothing that we could provide. And so God had to provide it all. And He willingly done that. He had no problem with doing that. So Paul says, when we were enemies, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. In other words, Paul says, you know, God's went all the trouble to send His Son to die on a cross for us and raised Him from the dead and went through all that trouble. Do you think that we're in trouble now? I mean, if we were enemies and now we're friends, and God did this for His enemies, what would God do for His friends? And the point of it is that we're safe, we're secure, we're all right. The problem with many people is that they have the idea that, you know, God's looking for something to get on me. He's like the police officer, my neighbor who doesn't like me, who's looking for something to get on me. God's not that way. What this is, Hodge tells us, he says, what this is that the greater benefit has been bestowed, that is, Christ died for us, the less will not be withheld. In other words, since God has done the greatest thing for us, won't He also do the little things? If Christ has died for His enemies, He will surely save His friends. Paul wants us to understand here that this thing of justification that he's been talking about since the very beginning of this book is secure for us. That since God has done this, He will not, as he says here, leave the work unfinished. Paul wrote to the Philippians and he says, He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so it's something that God's going to do. We're running out of time here. And not only that, I like that. And not only that. It's like somebody's telling you a story, you know, and your eyes are getting bigger and bigger as they tell it. And then they get kind of excited, you know. And not only that, do you get the idea? Paul says, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And not only that, we rejoice. We rejoice in what God has done for us. John Gill in his commentary says, Not only we are saved by His life and from wrath through Him, not only are we reconciled to God by His Son and Spirit, not only Christ has died for us while sinners and ungodly, not only do we glory in tribulations and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, but we also joy in God Himself as our covenant God and Father in Christ, as the God of all grace, peace, and salvation. In other words, when you think about it, it ought to give us joy, great joy. I haven't watched the video, but we took videos of the grandkids unwrapping Christmas presents. And it was such a sad thing. They were all crying. I got another present. Not quite like that, was it? It was a joyful time. It was a joyful time. And that's what God has done for us. And we have a right to be rejoicing in that. Matthew Henry says, when that which hinders salvation is taken away, the salvation needs follow. In other words, it must follow. And not only that, he says, the argument holds very strongly, if God justified and reconciled us when we were enemies, and He put Himself to such charge to do it, much more will He save us when we are justified and reconciled. He that has done the greater, which is of enemies to make us friends, will certainly the less, which is when we were friends, to use us friendly and to be kind to us. Now I know that you can go to a lot of different churches, but a lot of churches teach that you can be on your way to heaven today and be out tomorrow. That you can be a child of God today and lose that all tomorrow. And I'm here to tell you that Paul never taught that. People can believe whatever they want, and that's fine. Everybody's got a right to interpret the Bible the way they want. But Paul is telling us here in these passages that what God has done for us in reconciling us and in justifying us through the blood and the sacrifice of His Son guarantees us that He's going to do everything else that needs to be done to bring us to heaven. In Jesus' great intercessory prayer, He said, Father, I will I will. In other words, I want. I want those that you've given to me to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And I believe that God is going to answer that prayer. And Jesus said, of all which the Father has given me, I've lost none. And I think that when it's all wrapped up and when it's all finished, He's still going to be able to say that. He's not going to say, I didn't lose any of them except for a few there in Toulon. Not going to say that. He's going to be able to say that I finished all that God wanted me to do. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are so good to us. We're not always perfect and we're not always right, but we surely ought to always be thankful for Your mercy and for Your grace. Heavenly Father, help us today as we worship You, that the worship might continue on, that we might be continually reminded of the greatness of Your love and Your mercy towards us, and the sacrifice of Your Son that He died on the cross to cleanse us of our sins and to make us right in Your sight. Help us, Lord. It is in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.